This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
You're listening to Betting Weekly La Liga on the BetRivers Network.
Well, welcome along to the Betting Weekly La Liga podcast in association with BetRivers, your hometown sportsbook, alongside myself, Dan Robert, Rory Barlow of Football España, and freelance Spanish football journalist Alan Feely. A midweek slate to preview final games in La Liga before the World Cup. And don't forget, across the World Cup, we will have plenty of content for you. Rory and Alan will be joining in. We'll have previews of groups and outrights and so on, plus match by match previews throughout the tournament in Qatar. And don't forget, when it comes to the La Liga action, hopefully you were watching across the weekend on the BetRivers app. You would have seen a crazy Seville derby. You would have seen some brilliant goals over the course of the weekend. You can watch the lot, of course, when you log in and take advantage of the selections provided by Rory and Alan. We're a little bit unlucky, I thought, over the course of the weekend, but we'll get to the Betis Sevilla game shortly. We're going to kick off with a pick from Rory here. This is Elche against Girona. And Elche, who have sacked their manager, Rory, they are still without a win this season. We have successfully backed against them, and we're going to do so again, but there's a little bit of a caveat here. So talk us through this one. We've got Elche, Girona, Elche plus 190, Girona plus 150, draw plus 230, over and under 2.5 goals, plus 112, over under minus 139. Rory.
Yeah, Girona draw no bet at minus 123 is the one I'm going for. About an hour before we started, I think, is when they decided to sack their manager. It's the second sacking of the season for Elche. Jorge Almiron was back for his second spell at Elche, and that was, I think, 5 games without winning, plus the 16, sorry, that he was without winning before when he got sacked the first time. So 21 games without winning for Almiron.
Sensational.
It's a pretty good record. And yeah, they're in dire straits. I mean, they've not won a game this season, as you say. They've not kept a clean sheet either in those 5 games under Almiron since he came back. They did manage 2 draws. There was a 2-2 against Valencia away from home, which was reasonably impressive. But I mean, still, yeah, they can't defend, which is a big problem if you're not an offensively minded side. I think the sacking of Almiron, normally I tend to err on the side of new manager bounce whenever a manager's sacked. But I think the fact that this comes a day before, less than 24 hours before they're meant to kick off, slightly more than 24 hours before they're meant to kick off against Girona, is a big factor. Sergio Mantecón is going to take over as kind of the caretaker. He's a former Elche player. So, I mean, he'll try and calm things. But the first time you sack your manager, I think it's a relief. But if you do it 26 days after appointing someone, you just kind of increase the sense of chaos. You increase the sense that this club doesn't have a direction. It doesn't know where it's going. So I think that's really hard for the players to change coach for the fourth time in less than a month, because you had this caretaker. The first time was the B team manager. This time it will be Mantecón. And then you look at Girona, who come off the back of kind of 3 games undefeated, a draw against Osasuna, draw against Real Madrid, which they were pretty impressive in at the Bernabeu. And then last weekend on Friday night, they managed a 2-1 win against Athletic Club. And okay, Valverde's side are not in the best of form, but Girona were pretty impressive. And going forward, I think they had sort of 15-20 shots, which is kind of consistently where they're at. And we know that they can score goals. I think they've scored in all but 2 games this season. Those 2 games were right at the start of the season. Ever since kind of mid-September, they've been more or less an attacking threat for every side they faced. And so with that momentum, Girona have been poorer away from home. There's no doubt about that. But with the fact that Elche are in this dynamic, that they're struggling so much, and Girona are getting a bit of momentum, they're sort of in the confidence sort of point of their season where they can end this sort of break before the World Cup. They could end that kind of 6-7 points above the relegation zone if they win. So that'll be a huge motivation. With Girona, because they themselves do tend to concede quite a lot, and just because I feel like if you're an Elche team at the bottom, you're going to have to fight a lot in this match. And we saw it against Real Mallorca a few weeks ago. I think I backed Mallorca not to lose in that game as well. And it came in, I think they drew 1-1 or so. And that was an impressive sort of fight back from Elche, which is why I've kind of put that caveat in there, because they do have some quality players in there. And they do, if the Martinez Valero is kind of bouncing, then it is quite a good atmosphere. But yeah, on the basis of logic, facts, and reason, there's no sort of reason that Girona shouldn't be winning this game. And if they do fall to a draw, then okay, then you've got your money back anyway. So Girona at
like that one.
-123, draw no bet.
-123, draw no bet that one. Last three meetings, incidentally, under 1.5. That's +278 if you fancy that. Let's move on to Osasuna Barcelona with Alan. This is a Tuesday late game locally. Barcelona, short price favourites, -200 here. We have struggled, I think it's fair to say, all of us, to try and get the handle on overs and unders with wins in a sort of same game parlay when it comes to Barcelona and Real Madrid for that matter this season. So, Alan, you are moving away from the match betting and you're just going to go unders on this one. Tell us why.
Yeah, so obviously the weekend we saw Barcelona beat Almeria 2-0 at Camp Nou, Gerard Piqué's last game for the club. My bet was over 3.5 goals, I believe it was. So we fell just short of that. Very frustrating to kind of, you know, fall that short, similar with Betis and Sevilla, to kind of go from a winning week to a losing week by such fine margins. But yeah, this weekend, I just think that it's an interesting matchup for sure. It's a good test of Barcelona's acumen because we've seen this season that they've been very comprehensive and confident against the weaker teams, the middle class of La Liga. And I think that Osasuna are, you know, of that middle class, one of the teams who are in best shape in many ways. They're fifth now. They have an opportunity, given Betis drop points against Sevilla, to maybe kind of overhaul them and even get into the top four before the World Cup kind of causes the break in the season. And given the form of the likes of, you know, La Real, which is quite patchy, and also Villarreal, which has kind of fallen off a cliff since they appointed Quique Setién, I think there's an opportunity there for them. I do think that Barcelona is, you know, too big a challenge for them in many ways. I think that even though they have a good record at El Sadar this season, they've been good at home, an evening game up in the cold of Navarre, which is, you know, one of the most mountainous and kind of interesting regions of Spain, will be a challenge for them. But I think Barcelona won't score too many goals. I don't think that they're motoring as well as they had been at the beginning of the season domestically. So while they are winning games, I think that the hangover that came from the Champions League exit in the manner of that has kind of prohibited them from running up, you know, goleadas like they had been in the beginning of the season. So I think, you know, under 2.5 goals is a good bet because I think Barcelona will probably win this game, but I don't think it's going to be a goleada, as I said. I don't think it's going to be a 3 or 4 niler. I think it could be maybe 2-1 or 2-0 or something like that, if that makes sense. So that's what I'm going to go for under 2.5 goals. And it's +120, the last time I checked.
Plus one, I think it's a big price, yeah. Barcelona haven't scored more than one in the last three league games. Let's move on to the game that both of you have taken a view in here. Only on the Bet Rivers La Liga podcast can 9th versus 17th at the time of recording perk the interest of these two. This is Rayo against Celta Vigo. Rayo +140, Celta Vigo +220, draw +210, over and under mark here at the moment, and it has been fluctuating a little bit. Over 2.5 is +130, under 2.5, -162. Alan, you've just gone for a straight win bet here, so we'll let you go first because we've got two selections. You can back them both. They both can win. We've not got opposing views. Alan, what do you like in this one?
I'm going for Rayo to beat Celta, which is +140 when I last checked. I think it's an interesting game in many ways because on paper, both clubs are where the other should be, in my opinion. Like Rayo Vallecano are a really small club. They're not well run. They're not well resourced, but they're kind of continually punching above their weight. I think at the beginning of the season, I, like many other people, expect them to regress to the mean a little bit and for their form in the second half of last season to kind of carry on into this one. But instead, they've been performing well. They're especially at home at Vallecas in an evening game above all else. It's a very, very tough place to go for everybody. Their defense is quite good. They have a good home record. Celta, by comparison, are a bit of a disaster. Like, they're one of the biggest clubs in Spain, technically, in terms of, you know, their cultural heritage, their place in Galician society. And they have some very good players. But I think that the war that's going on between the president Denis Suarez over, you know, various complicated factors, including agents and players being transferred for different reasons, has kind of created quite a negative atmosphere, a negative vibe in the camp at Balaidos. You know, that couple with Chachu Koudé being sacked, obviously, is kind of similar to what Rory was mentioning earlier about maybe not backing a new manager bounce. I think that for Celta, they're in such a negative kind of spiral, you know, they're kind of flirting with the relegation zone right now. It could be a negative more so than a positive. I don't think that there's a clear candidate to come in and kind of replace him and kind of build the team in the way that the owners seemingly want it to be built. So yeah, for that reason, I just can't see beyond Rayo. I think, you know, this week is interesting because it's the last game of the season in many ways, of this mini season before the World Cup. Like I said before, and even in game at Vallecas, a big crowd, Rayo have kind of, it's a free hit for them, really. They're not in trouble so far this season, so they can just put in a good performance. I just don't think that Celta have the clean slate that they would have wanted when they sacked Koudé. So I think that, you know, they could really struggle. And I think that Rayo are going to win. So I'm backing them at plus 140.
Plus 140, big price. Celta, in fact, slipped to 18th with that point at Sevilla gained in the derby late last night. Rory, you've got a selection in the same game, but it's a different market, slightly more cautious in terms of the price, at least. Explain your best bet in this one.
Yeah, I'm going both teams to score at minus 108. And I was looking at Rayo because obviously they are doing pretty well, as Alan says. But I was looking at kind of their clean sheets because they've got 5 clean sheets out of 12 games, which for Rayo, 13 games, which for Rayo, which are kind of an offensive team, they're pretty adventurous. And obviously a team that, as Alan says, should be kind of flirting with relegation, but are doing better than that. But I was looking at those clean sheets. And okay, there's the exception against Barcelona at the start of the season, the first game of the season where Barcelona did everything but score. They did defend well, it should be said, in that game as well. But the other clean sheets came against Sevilla, Getafe, Mallorca and Espanyol, all of which, in my view, are offensively struggling sides. They don't necessarily score that many goals. They're lacking a striker. For various reasons, they can't be trusted to score. So although Rayo have done their homework against those sides and you can't sort of belittle those clean sheets, there is a point, or there's a suggestion that against teams that do have a bit of offensive firepower, that they might not be able to keep them out. And as you say, Rayo are in decent form, morale is high, but they'll also have 2 days less rest against Celta than Celta. Celta obviously beaten by Osasuna at the weekend, 2-1 at home. I think it will maybe help them that they're away from home and they've not got the pressure of Balaidos, because I think Balaidos is a pretty unhappy place to be right now. But Rayo Vallecano will be playing against Real Madrid on Monday night, again at home, but it will be a big effort against Real Madrid. And I think that could lead to some tired legs, perhaps. Celta, in that kind of tailspin, even though that they've been poor, they've not been disastrous, and they've still scored in their last 5 games. They've only failed to score in 2 of their games this season. I think Carlos Carvajal as well, although we don't really know how he's going to go, he's a very adventurous coach. He's a very sort of offense-minded coach who tries to play sort of vertical, exciting football. So you've got two teams that are going to go at each other, two teams that believe in their own offensive power and in their ability to press just as much as they believe in their defense, if not more. And so I think that makes for goals in combination with those kind of potentially tired Rayo legs. So yeah, both teams to score at minus 108. I think Iago Aspas is a decent bet for a goal in this game too.
Okay, that's Rayo. So let's move on to Valencia Betis. We've obviously mentioned Betis already very briefly. Extraordinary game, Rory, against it. It looked like, well, they were big odds on to win, a goal up and a man up, but all hell broke loose. They take on Valencia at Mestalla on Thursday evening locally, plus 140 Valencia. Betis plus 215, which might seem a big price, but I guess they're going to be missing players after having 2 sent off. Draw plus 215. Over and under mark here is 106, plus 106 overs, minus 132 unders. What's your thoughts going into this one? What's the bet here?
Yeah, admittedly, I did back this before Fekir and Borja Iglesias got themselves suspended for this match, but I'm sticking by it. Betis to win or draw plus over 1.5 goals at plus 115. Valencia, just starting with them, they're a holy team, as I've said before. They're a team that has sort of issues in them, and they have sort of periods of good play sequences where you can see that there's things coming together, but they never quite close off on 90 minutes of good football. And you saw that against Real Sociedad. I think they went behind very early on. They were under pressure. They made a mistake. And it was that that led to them conceding in their 1-1 draw. And then they sort of went a man up as well in that game. Alex Alessandro was sent off after just 17 minutes. They got the equaliser. They were playing pretty well. They were playing sort of decent, incisive football. But then when it came to the second half, and it was on Valencia to sort of take the game by the scruff of the neck, they did create like the odd chance, but Real Sociedad were creating just as decent chances as well. And this is a Real Sociedad side that has been decimated by injuries. There's youth players kind of all over the shop. So I look at this Betis side who I think they'll be frustrated by that draw against Sevilla. I think they thought that they were the better side. I think they believe that they should have been winning that game, and had it not been for the red cards, they would have done. There might be a little bit of tiredness that sets in as well in this match, but these are, again, two teams that has, I mean, Gattuso and Manuel Pellegrini are both offensive managers. So I do think both teams will probably score in this match. I think there'll be at least two goals. I don't see Betis losing just because of that resilience that we've highlighted on so many occasions this season. This is a Betis side that even when the odds are against them, they tend to grind out results. And I think it might even help them sort of, this has been sort of a very exhausting period for Betis. It might even help them if the likes of Juan Cruz, who came in at last week in the Europa League, got his first goal and got his first goal against Real Sociedad 2 weeks ago. I think it might help them to have a bit of fresh legs in there. The likes of William Carvalho are on really good form and creating a lot whenever he gets the ball in front of the box. So I think it'll be a bit of a hard game emotionally for Betis just after Seville derby to pick yourself up from that, to pick yourself up from such a big effort. But Manuel Pellegrini is going to sell this to his side as a final effort before the break. Give me one brilliant 90 minutes and you can finish in the top four. Valencia, I think it's incumbent on them to go for this game as well. They've got 3 points out of their last 15 available. So Gattuso needs a result as well. So I think both teams are going to have to go for this. Cavani is a doubt. He missed the trip to Real Sociedad at the weekend completely. He didn't even travel. So I think he might get some minutes towards the end, potentially, especially if Valencia need a goal. But I don't think he'll be risked from the start, to be perfectly honest. So yeah, I look at that, those adventurous teams, and I'm going to go Betis to win or draw. I don't think they'll get beaten. Over 1.5 goals, I think it'll be an entertaining offensive game. And that gets you plus 115 back.
Just very briefly on Betis from both of you, Alan first. On the face of it, you get two players sent off in a big game like that. Does that put a question mark against them from a disciplinary point of view? When we talk about top four and they're in such a good position because Sevilla aren't playing well at the moment, to get that top four, is there a bit of a question mark against them maybe to get that Champions League spot this season?
No, I think it was in a unique environment in many ways, because like the Seville derby is very bad tempered both on and off the pitch. Like I think there was an incident where Betis were kind of trying to block Monchi from taking up a seat in the director's box because of the way he was behaving in the kind of tunnel and in the dressing rooms and that kind of stuff. So there's a serious dislike there, obviously deepened by what we discussed last week in terms of the Palo incident when a Betis supporter threw a stick and hit Joan Jordan in the head at the Villamarín last season in the Copa del Rey, causing the game to be postponed. The kind of players have kind of taken the proverbial out of each other since then. You know, Andres Guardado, the Betis player, kind of, you know, it was filmed basically mocking Jordan and kind of flopping over like Jordan did, because the kind of whole allegation was that there wasn't really much in that hit, you could say. So I think that was the reasoning behind it, really, you know. And even if you look at the red cards too, I think like Borja Iglesias, like I know it's a cliche to say this, but he's just not that kind of player. And he kind of dragged down his opponent's heel for sure. And you could tell by his reaction immediately afterwards that he knew he had done wrong, and he knew that he'd be lucky to escape getting sent off. So that's kind of a freak incident, in my opinion. And then it was coupled, of course, with the fact that Montiel had just been sent off for Sevilla earlier in the game. So there was a sense of kind of evening up the scores. And then with Nabil Fekir, I mean, that's just kind of in his makeup. I think the red card is quite questionable, but I think Fekir has a kind of history of doing things like that. But that's what you get when you look for kind of a mercurial number 8, number 10. He's someone who can create something out of nothing. He's not a Sergio Canales who's going to run the team and he's going to be the best player every week, but he's someone who, when he turns it on, has an ability that's, you know, a few in European football can compare. And that's why Liverpool were close to signing him a couple of years ago. That's why he's, you know, he was involved in the French squad for the World Cup. That's what you get with a player like him. So I think collectively, this is a good group for Betis. They're not, there's no egos there. There's no bad apples. It's just more a case of circumstance and luck as opposed to any kind of underlying issue, if you get me.
Yeah, I mean, they're fourth at the moment. I mean, Bet Rivers haven't got revised prices for the top four, but very quickly, Rory, would you still say that they would be, you know, outside of the traditional big three, the most likely to get fourth place?
Currently, you have to say so. You currently have to look at the teams and the quality around them. I think they've got more quality than anyone else but Villarreal. But you look at Villarreal and that sort of disastrous run of form they're in under Setien. I think Setien was a rushed appointment. I think he looks rushed as well at the minute. So I think, yeah, Betis, on the face of it, they have the most stable squad. They have the most stable sort of mentality. They've been building this project for 2-3 years now. And everyone else, Real Sociedad, are looking good, but just in terms of injuries and in terms of depth, they're going to struggle always to compete with Betis, I think. And yeah, just on Fekir, very quickly, he's got a bit of an air of Cantona about him, sort of like he likes to lash out every now and then, but he is capable of the absolutely brilliant. And yeah, he's quite a iconic figure. He looks brilliant in those kind of Betis vintage kits too.
Yeah, 5 red cards over the last 4 seasons for Real Betis, for Fekir Tooney's first season in La Liga. One more selection to get out. That's Alan Storz on Real Madrid against Cadiz. -715, shortest price favourite on the midweek card. Both fixtures last season were drawn. I can't remember either, but I'm sure there were circumstances surrounding them. You have gone for a home win here, but not by many goals, Alan. Talk us through your selection for the game Thursday night local.
Yeah, well, it's the, you know, never-ending battle to find value when it comes to Real Madrid and Barcelona. You know? So I've gone for Madrid to beat Cadiz by under 3.5 goals. Or sorry, for under 3.5 goals to occur in the game, should I say.
Yeah.
Which was +120, which is, you know, decent odds given how heavy Madrid are favourites. Like I said earlier with Barcelona, I think the Madrid are a kind of team who don't do goleadas. They don't route teams 4 or 5-0, even though they probably could. Carlo Ancelotti is by nature not a conservative coach, but quite kind of, you know, a coach who manages games in a certain way. And once they have a lead secure, he does like to kind of, you know, not sit in it, but kind of make sure they retain it, if that makes sense, and not risk too much going forward. And having said that, I don't think Cadiz are a team who would punish them if they did leave themselves open by any great extent. But I do think that Madrid won't try and beat them by 4 or 5 goals. They want to win the game quite comfortably. They have obviously several players in the squad who are you know, going to the World Cup, and it's the last game before the World Cup. So they're not going to be, you know, busting a gut to try and get a hat-trick or something. You know, I think Karim Benzema might not even play. He's not fully fit yet. He obviously is going to his first World Cup after missing the 2018 edition since 2014, I believe it was, given all the off-field stuff that happened with him and the French Football Federation. Real Madrid's average goal return this season is 2.4. So I think, you know, if looking at it logically, it makes sense to go under 3.5. Under 2.5 may be a bit more risky, but I think under 3.5 makes a lot of sense in terms of I can't see them winning the game by more than 3-0. But I do think they win the game for sure. I think Cadiz are a team who kind of have the Indian sign over Barcelona and Real Madrid in many ways since they come up from Segunda in the summer of 2020. They're not in a good run of form this season. I think, as you mentioned before on the podcast, this could be the year that their luck runs out and they do return to Segunda because they're probably punching above their weight in La Liga as things stand. So I don't think they have what it takes to pull off an unlikely victory like they did 2 seasons ago or even get a point like they did last year. So I'm going to back Madrid to win, but not by a hugely convincing margin.
So Madrid to win under 3.5 goals, +120. Good price about that. If you want to go a little bit shorter in terms of the goals or bigger in price, but fewer goals, under 2.5 in Real Madrid to win is +325. That is a massive price. But I think Alan's selection is a good one. Let's remind you of the selections that we've got for you over the course of this midweek card. It is, of course, the final midweek card that we have for you in La Liga before we take a break for the World Cup finals. And don't forget, you can watch all the action over the course of this midweek as well on the Bet Rivers app If you're logging on, you'll be able to watch these and hopefully pick up all these winners, which we're fingers crossed they will be, because we minus 595 on the profit and loss. I'll run through the tips. Alan goes Real Madrid, Cadiz, Real to win under 3.5 goals, plus 120. Real to beat Celta Vigo, plus 140. Osasuna, Barcelona, under 2.5 goals, plus 120. Rory likes draw no bet in the Elche Girona game. Girona, the selection, minus 123. Valencia Real Betis. Betis to win or draw over 1.5 goals, like that, 1 plus 115. And Rayo Vallecano against Celta Vigo. Both teams to score, minus 108. I think if we get a complete clean sweep of 6 out of 6, just looking at those prices, we will nudge to a profit for the season. Let's just remind about the handicappers league table, because we slipped. We were all set to get pretty much level for 13 weeks of the season. But unfortunately, the Betis Sevilla game snookered us with all those red cards, with Betis in a winning position. So we are slumped to minus 595. But as we say, we are just one midweek, good midweek away from getting us back into profit. If you're following Liga, Champions League, they're doing well. Portugal and the Premier League, likewise. Serie A jumped into profit with some good selections this weekend as well. And you can stay across all of our podcasts at Because We Win. That wraps it up for today. And it wraps up the La Liga podcast for now, with the World Cup coming away. Don't forget, we've got World Cup previews as well to come. Alan and Rory are going to be joining me on that. I presume you're both detailed to look at Spain's World Cup chances, or have you been asked to cover other countries as well, Alan?
Yeah, well, I think I'm going to look at the whole picture before kind of, you know, staking my claims. Obviously, I spent a lot of time in Brazil over the last 2 years, so I'm paying very close attention to how they do. And, you know, being a big fan of Lionel Messi, I'd like to see Argentina do quite well too. But Spain, of course, you know, covering them quite closely over the last couple of years, you know, being to a lot of games. Again, big fan of Luis Enrique. So yeah, lots of interesting angles to be taken, interesting bets, underdogs. So yeah, looking forward to breaking them all down on Friday by London Bridge.
Yeah, should be good. Rory, have you been asked to do any particular groups, or are you just going to be across various bits and pieces for us?
I think there's a couple of groups I'm on, but yeah, there'll definitely be a Latin slant to my selections, I am sure, just because what you know best, you obviously stick to. Yeah, Luis Enrique, Spain are always good fun for betting, because they're quite unpredictable in many ways and quite predictable in others. So we'll detail all that on Friday, though.
Yes, we will indeed. We'll look at outrights, we'll look at groups, plenty of World Cup content to come. Stay across at Because We Win for the release of all of our podcasts over the course of this midweek and, of course, the World Cup. But for now, as far as La Liga is concerned, that's your lot. Enjoy the midweek action.
Thanks for listening to Betting Weekly La Liga on the BetRivers Network.